happened on cutback, all but two of them, and it just really has to do with the responsibility to stay home. You know, they can get you flowing fast with the style running game, and they have a complementary play that cuts back, and we need to do a better job of maintaining our responsibility on the cutback. So it was really just a case of us over pursuing on the backside.
Were you rotating your front three more than usual, or is that kind of a similar thing? It looked like that second unit, so to speak, of Thomas.
Holiday
and Keevan were out there. I saw them for three consecutive series.
You know what? They split time pretty evenly. Some weeks, somebody may get a few reps, but as far as this past game goes, it was most of them got in the 30s as far as plays go, but a couple of them got high teens to 20. So there wasn't anything in particular to read into it as far as play time or anything. We were trying to keep them fresh. We were out there in the field a lot of snaps, and so we just try to keep them fresh.
Mike, how would you evaluate Alphonso Smith at this point? It seems he's been obviously passed over a couple times by other guys, including Tony Carter this week.
You mean as a season, or?
Yeah, I mean, where is he at right now, and you know what's he doing? Maybe that is keeping him off the field at this point.
Well, he's a young player, as we all know. He's a rookie, and he's developing. And we've got several other rookies that are just still trying to find their niche and things. And that's common for a rookie. You know, there's a unique few that play early and play a lot. And just in their cases, they just still have some more to learn before they get on the field consistently. That's all.
So, what is it that Tony Carter has done well that gave you guys the confidence to put him in yesterday?
You know, the only thing you really have to go on with young players, not having much history with them, is just the way they practice. And in Tony's case, he's practiced well, and so Josh felt it was, in the best interest of the team to move him up to the roster. He also was able to help us in the kicking game, which takes some of the load off of Champ and Goodman. So there's kind of a special teams and defensive reason for that.
So with Alphonso, what does he have to do this offseason to kind of get to where he needs to be before his second?
Young players just need to play, that's all. And when they get the opportunity, they need to perform well. Other than that, it's just maturity. It's no different than just growing up. You know, there's some lessons you got to learn on the field by yourself. You can talk to them all you want in practice, but until they have that experience on the field. So the little bit that they get on the field, they have to make the best of those opportunities. But that's really, it's just a case of maturity for young guys. I'm not talking about social maturity. I'm just talking about as a player.
Yeah, understood. But so it sounds like maybe it's more the mental side of the game that he still has to kind of get up to speed with.
Mental, I wouldn't say that. Alphonso's a bright guy. I think it's just more you got to make plays to get on the field in this league. We all know that. I mean, the playmakers get on, and when you're on, you have to, whether it's to shut the guy down that you're on or actually get the ball in your hands, but some form or fashion, you've got to, do the job that you're assigned to. So it's really that kind of stuff more than anything.
Mike, it seems to me like late in the season, teams with nothing to play for show up and play to win anyway. It almost as if sometimes it seems like they have the advantage, and the Broncos have lost a few games like that, including to your 49ers in 06. We brought that up yesterday. You remember that game. What is it about these NFL teams when, even though they're out of it, the record's not very good, they're not supposed to win, they show up and kind of knock teams off anyway?
It's hard to say exactly what it is. If you're a good football team, though, you don't let that happen to you. And we need to, we need to obviously be a good football team and make that happen. But sometimes, I tell you, there's two different types. When it's interconference or division, I should say, there's always the rivalry. And maybe it's the respect or maybe it's the disrespect. I don't know that teams get up for one another. I think you'll see that just like you saw Cleveland beat Pittsburgh a couple weeks back. Those things happen, but like I said, I think that's a different reason than someone maybe out of division, out of conference, that plays someone that they don't normally play. You don't have that rivalry, so to speak. But there's, I think for some guys, they just they kind of just let their hair down. Whether they were playing tight before or not, it's hard to say. But I think there's a number of different reasons. But I do know that when you're playing a division opponent, no different than us playing Kansas City in 2 weeks, you can throw the records out when we play each other. It's going to be, I think it'll be a hard-fought game.
Do you think it's possible for a guy like Dawkins can maybe will a team to go in there against Philadelphia? You know he's going to want and demand and, you know, exhort his guys to play their to bring their A game because he'll want that game in Philly this week.
You know, I'd like to think so, but I would say that's too much on his plate. I know that he'll play the very best he can, and I'm sure he'll motivate others by just his style of play. He does every week, no matter who we play. But it is the ultimate team sport. I mean, believe me, when the offense does well, or the defense, or the special teams does well, it usually spills over into the other groups. And, unfortunately, yesterday we didn't play very good complimentary football and gave them a lot of opportunities to do things, whether it was our own fault on defense not getting off the field or, you know, the offense not staying on. And I think it's the same when we go to play Philadelphia. It'll be, in order for us to win, we've got to play well in all three phases.
Coach, you talked about giving up those big plays on the cutback runs. How big a concern is a guy like DeSean Jackson, who's kind of made his living off big plays this season?
Well, it's a different aspect of the game, but he's certainly somebody we're going to take close notice to as we're game planning and things like that, as everyone has done. The running part obviously won't enter into much of his thing. But we do, you know, the disappointment the other day was that we knew the run was one of our main focal points as far as giving us the ability to win the game. And we broke down, several times, and it was very costly to us. We think should have won the game, you know, if we just come through at the end. But like I said, we all, you know, all the phases, we got to work together better and get that done. But DeSean Jackson will be a concern this week, so we'll see, see how we defend them.
Mike, did you see him much when you were in the Bay Area?
I did a little bit, obviously because of the highlights and, just this being around the Cal program. So I saw him then. And he also came over. He didn't work out, but he came over for that spring workout that you can do right before the draft.
Oh,
take
sure.
A look at all the guys within, 100 miles of your facility, things like that. We had a sit-down with him and all that. So I'm familiar with him. We've had a couple conversations, not recently, naturally, but back when he came out. We thought he was a very good player. We just... as many teams did, made the mistake of not taking them.
Did you think you would transfer that explosiveness to the pro game?
If I've just got to be flat honest with you, like all the other teams have passed them over, had they done that, they'd have drafted them. So I'd be hypocritical to say, oh, yeah, sure, we thought he'd be a great player. We thought he'd be magnificent. That's why we passed him twice.
I like that. I appreciate it.
No, we thought he'd be a good player, but at the time we really felt we had bigger needs than there, but as it's turned out, that probably wasn't the case.
Have you looked at the Eagles much yet?
Yes, I watched a few games, and then we've played them, or at least where I've been in the past. We've played them the last four at San Francisco, and then we played them a couple years when I was back at Baltimore. So I've been familiar with them for some years. Still tough to beat, though.
Are they a little more explosive this year? They just seem like they've had a rash of big plays.
DeSean has been a big part of the big plays. So, but they've always been explosive. You know, it's my understanding they'll get the running back Westbrook back possibly this week. And if they do, he's an outstanding player. They've got playmakers. I tell you what's a credit to Andy and the job he does. Reed, though, is the players come and go. He does have different players. Over the last 8, 9, 10 years that he's been there as head coach, and he continues to perform at a high level offensively. Naturally, the quarterback pulling the trigger has a huge part in that, but they continue to have very good game plans and play well.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.